Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to our Wednesday midweek prayer and teaching gathering. This is Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, and Spiritual Life Enrichment. We are gathered here this evening with a lot on the agenda, so we will turn it over into our ambassadorial prophet team. Prophet?
Yes, well, good evening, Blog Talk family. Good evening, Labors for Christ community. It is so good to be a part of what God is doing in your life. Pray that you are enjoying and having a wonderful and blessed day. We definitely want to prepare for our Wednesday spiritual growth enrichment. So we pray that as you gather, We are going to be blessed. We are excited about what we're going to begin to talk about for the month of May. We're going to talk about this concept of prophetic deliverance. And so we're excited to share with you. Welcome again to our biblical training and practical growth. So for this month, we will excavate the Word of God and look at the biblical principle behind prophetic deliverance. And we will have prayerfully practical trainings for personal growth. And we are excited about you engaging and being a part of what God has and desire to do in our lives. As always, your participation is very important to the development of the teaching, and the expectation is for you to participate, engage, ask questions, and then implement the policies and procedures in your own personal and public life. And we are excited about what God wants to do on the inside of you and what God has released over your lives individually and collectively. We pray that you were blessed by last month's teaching and you are allowing the downloads from last month to have evident in your life, and you are understanding your transformational leadership identity. And so we are excited about what God would download in our hearts today, and we believe that you will walk away this evening empowered, equipped, and encouraged to walk in your deliverance. We decree and declare that the testimony about you would be that of Acts 17 and 6. These are they that have turned the world upside down and have come here also. So while we prepare to read a scripture and pray, we encourage you to grab your Bible, grab a pen and a journal, and let's begin to scribe what we are hearing the Lord say as we share and continue to maturate as a community and believing God for new momentum, fresh manifestation, and unrevealed miracles and mantles to be released over our lives individually and collectively. I do again want to read Mark 16:17-18, And it says, and these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking any poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them all. Amen. So we're going to join together and just pray our month of May prayer and declaration, and pray that you are practicing it and declaring it every day. It says, I decree that May will be a blessed month. Let every week of May be a blessed week. I will walk in the strength of God during the month of May. I will have the joy and peace, shalom of God during the month of May. May will be a month of great grace, great power, great favor, and great faith. I believe God for special and uncommon miracles during the month of May. I will experience financial breakthroughs during the month of May. I will have health and strength during this month. I declare I will increase in knowledge and wisdom during the month of May. I will hear the voice of the Lord clearly and speak his word with power and authority during this month. The Lord's praise will continually be in my mouth during the month of May. I decree May is my secret place month. I'm protected under the shadow of his wings, and my family and friends are covered by his presence. No weapon formed against me will prosper in the month of May. I will have victory, freedom, and clarity during this month. I will prosper and be in good health during the month of May. Let new things spring forth now for me this month in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we are declaring Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, amen, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he's promised. May you receive the inner illumination of the Spirit, which will make you realize how great is the hope to which he is calling you. May our God and Father be glorified forever and ever. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And then may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen, amen, amen. I'm excited about that. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. Let's just pause for a praise break. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we do have our apostle on the line, and we're going to ask her to come in, and we're going to do a some debriefing about our Sunday parade. And so we want to turn it over to our apostolic visionary, our very own Dr. Apostle Shanae Hall.
Thank you so much, Ambassadorial Prophet. I appreciate that, and really, really enjoyed the depth of the prophetic declaration that you just made. So blessings be multiplied unto you. All right, to all of our listeners today, we have gathered to do a few things. One of them being to have a debriefing. We have had the opportunity to do two prayer drives or prayer parades, and so we want the opportunity to hear from you, to hear how it was for you, what your thoughts were, what your input. We so appreciated everybody that came and decorated their car and just kind of drove around with a prayerful mentality. The goal of both prayer drives or prayer parades, they were not meant to be evangelistic in nature. However, the goal was, our assignment was to release the resources of God in the community, and the resources looking like his love, his kindness, his mercy, his healing. So it is one of the vehicles by which we want to introduce ourselves to the community. And so, again, we've had the opportunity to do it twice. We definitely want to thank all of the individuals who made signs available, who made cards available, who made ribbons available, who made prayer cloths available, who made the red ribbon available representing the blood of Jesus. And so there were so many phenomenal things that were made available, but most importantly, you availed yourself to the process. And so I just wanted to be able to take this opportunity to hear from you, to hear what it was you sensed, what it was, what your thoughts were, how effective you saw it. Given the opportunity, what would you add? What would away? So this is about hearing your heart for the assignment that the Holy Spirit has given us. So would anybody like to share?
Yes, I will. This is Mr. Pat. I have truly enjoyed the tour I've been on with the in the car, decorating it, and then going in the neighborhood. What I saw the first time was different the second time, meaning last Sunday, was that the people were so ready to receive it, you know, and they was happy and they was hollering out and blowing their horns and, you know, and they were receptive for the information given to them. And I just felt like, you know, you saw that they was reading it, even the lady right on the bus stop as she had received it, you know, and just was thanking us for the information. So I think it's a phenomenal way, and I thank God for God giving it to you all for us to be a part of it. So to God be the glory.
Amen.
Only thing I wanted to say, one more thing, was I felt like only one thing was maybe sometimes if we do a walk journey, you know, because it was hard, in my opinion, to park and then, you know, to get back unless you was right there by them. But otherwise than that, everything else was beautiful.
So you would be interested in walking around and passing out information regarding the church.
Right, the information resources that you have with all the numbers, yes, and passing it. It's kind of hard when you got people behind you in front of you on the parade and getting out and then trying to get back in, you know. So that was my only, but it's not a negative, it's a positive, but I think, you know, they receiving it, you know, in the neighborhood and seeing you in that way too, if that is something we can do.
Absolutely, no, thank you, thank you.
So this is Henderson. This is Henderson. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a part of the parade, but remotely from the pictures that I saw and from the first one, I was so excited just on this end to see the participation of individuals dressing up their cars. And so I think even for me, just looking at it did something for me visually. And I only got to see one car the first time. So this time I got a chance to see more cars and to see individuals' investment. Even from this end, not being in the parade and looking at it, getting pictures of it, it brought hope. It did something for me. And so, you know, and I love stuff like that. So it made me, like, want to dress everybody's car up. But I think that that was so phenomenal and to see it from that angle.
Wonderful. Awesome. What would you recommend, because you have the unique opportunity of watching it virtually. And so what insight, what would you recommend that we do or don't do for whenever, because we'll do this again on the third Sunday. So we will be doing it every first and third Sunday. So what would be your future recommendation?
So definitely, you know, encourage everyone to do as much as they could. I think that that was, you know, a very power visual look. I know we're working out how, you know, it flows in the car. So, you know, I'm very much a passenger in Evangelist Katie Carr. But I wanted to see the outside. And I know that's difficult for her to be, like, driving to do it. So I don't know if someone can hold it or something. But I wanted to see the outside, see the car, see the parade, wanted to see the people respond. And that's the only mm-hmm. thing. And I don't know if, you know, mm-hmm. you can work that out. But Evangelist Katie is a good passenger. She makes me feel comfortable. She rocks good music. So, but yeah, that's
yes,
the only
did.
Thing.
She had that music. I like that.
Yeah. I like that she showed me the lineup. And so I got to see more cars this time. So I thought that that was also a really good, phenomenal piece.
That was Apostle's fault because she delayed the parade, and I was able to get everything mounted in the car and then drive around for a minute and see everything.
Well, amen. Thank you. Praise God for delay. I got that annoying.
anybody else?
This is Apostle KP, and I definitely am excited about what we're doing via the parade and ministry. And I know that you said it wasn't evangelistic, but the first time that we did it, and you kind of like sent us to a block,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Trevor and I and Minister Melvin and Bethel, we were on one block, and we literally just walked up and down that block and prayed. We prayed on the block, and we did gave out some handouts on that block as well, putting things in the mailbox. And I would definitely, you know, like it because I know we're doing the parade itself kind of circle around, but then to disperse and have people assigned to a block or two, that would enable us to give literature. We passed out the cards with the blood and the cross and the angel wings and what it meant. We passed those out this second time, definitely on our little half block. We passed them out in each of the mailbox, just put them in the mailbox and prayed while we were putting them in there. Also had an opportunity to just kind of stop at people that were at bus stops and give them the cards, and also told them where we would be located as soon as this lifts. We would love to see you there, and you know, just explain what the cards represented. And again, like Minister Pat said, the receptiveness of people who are just hungry for the word and for some hope. And so I like the first time being able to be on that block and just to walk up and down that block just praying and releasing, you know, prayers during the block, just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he told me to stop at different houses and pray for a specific thing in front of some houses. And so I liked that one. I liked and enjoyed the cars that are decorated and the momentum of those who are parading, our excitement to be a part and to just to release what we know we carry, my God, as the instruments of God. So, yes, I'm very excited. I would love to do the walk as well, but I did find it fruitful, in my opinion, when you sent us on that one block, and we just had a block that we targeted, that we played on, that, you know, we walked on. And so, again, I'm very excited with what we're doing and just how it's evolving. Each time it's evolving and taking a form of its own as we're being led by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, amen. Thank you, Apostle. What would be your... aside from the opportunity of going out two by two and being assigned a particular block, what other recommendation, if any, would you give to us?
Definitely just being open when we first started the parade, because I'm a one-on-one person, I found myself, you know, getting out and talking to people. It was, you know, trying to keep the mandate of the 6 foot. That was kind of difficult.
Okay.
but just, you know, ministering to people, even if we could, like, as we're parading, stop on the block, hit those four corners of a block. Each of us just get out two-by-twos or whatever on each of those corners and just begin to pray and then get back in and proceed to the next block or to the next, you know, intersection kind of a thing. I'm trying to think of the parameters that we were, but I know right there on 119th in Michigan where that liquor store slash convenience store is.
Yes.
Yes. And
with a nursing home down the street.
And yeah, you know, so some of those areas, that's definitely what I would say to do. And as we're doing it, asking people, I know we have to, I'm trying to keep all of the things that we have to do to follow through with what's been mandated by the state. But, you know, those that need prayer or asking for prayer, those kinds of things. So that's definitely what I would say for right now is to just when we get to a major intersection, so to speak, to get out. Two people get on each of those corners and just begin to pray, get back in and go to the next intersection. And like she said, the nursing home, ask if we can do a parade by, stand out, give some signs to the people in the nursing home. You know, we're here, we're bringing the name of God, we're praying for you, those kinds of things. Or Roseland Hospital as well, those areas, you know, those particular areas where we know that there is a need.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Who's next?
I can go next.
Well, that'll be good.
I love the idea of being true to the parade part of it, in that those who are praying will get to see virtually what it is that is in the community, in the community, because the parade part is still moving and they're still praying for the wider area. Like, they got to pray for the police station. I passed by the school, the nursing home, and a few other things that were mentioned, you know, on the call. I like being true to that part of it, that, you know, that the cohesiveness or the larger picture is captured there. I also would like to see that the people who are in the other cars, and maybe like we did this time, we used the prayer line so that I could hear Pastor Mike and those who were praying. If the entire parade could be dialed into the prayer line, at least we have contact with all of the parts of the parade, even when they stop or move, you know, and get out and walk. That way we at least have that contact with them and we know where they are. I felt kind of separated at some point, like, okay, everybody's gone again and it's just me. I got to keep moving so that I can see, so that the people can see the community and what it is we're praying for. And I tried, Pastor Mike, to turn the camera at some point, but you know, you got to focus on traffic when you're driving in, trying to do the camera. So, you know, when the whole thing is over, I would like to maybe have a second pair of hands in the car that can focus the camera, or maybe somebody can drive me and then I can just focus the camera on what it is we need to see in the community. And then you'll be able to see more. That's my input.
Wonderful. Thank you. Extremely insightful. Thank you. Would somebody else like to share?
Of the information for me to make a sign, and I hadn't drawn in years, and this the first time we went out, we made the sign, and the people were receiving. And then on the second occasion, this Sunday, Diana was in the car with me, and we were able to invite people that, you know, I usually ask them, could you have a moment? And they came to the car. But the information, we only had four cards. So when I go out, I want to have enough information, a little bit more, to give away so the people could they have the information to get back to the church. So I tried to give most of the cards in on State Street. I think we gave our cards out. And from the 120th, to 122nd, and I'm a diverse person, so I kind of picked the different nationalities, And they were receiving, they read, they were reading the sign. They wanted to know what we were doing. We went by the police station, and there's a fire department on State Street also. So there are some areas that if we go out on feet, when we get that opportunity, that now we know where we can target and give the information. And I enjoyed it.
Awesome. And your recommendation for the future?
That we go to those, I think she said Roseland, the hospital, and we can have contact with the chaplain or whoever that's over in the religious department. Then we can, the police department and
okay.
the fire department, those different organizations in that community. And I'm pretty sure the people will receive you. That way we can be in with the aldermen.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the doors open, we can introduce ourselves so they'll know we're out there.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor. I think Pastor T was speaking simultaneously. So, Pastor T?
Because of the season that we're in and the pandemic, I think maybe this past Sunday might have been a little overcast, but I'm speaking spiritually that there is a shadow over the neighborhood spiritually. And when I was riding in the parade this Sunday, one of the things that I noticed was, to me, there seemed to be more people on the street. You know, I saw lots of men, and I saw a man that was gardening. And I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced this, but in the South, when there is, unfortunately, a funeral, when you're in the South and you're driving, you know, you're in a procession like that, everybody stops. And so when I was driving through and people started responding to us, that's the sense that I got, that we had brought a light and people are trying to go about or trying to find some normalcy in, you know, what they've been allowed to do in this season. So when I saw the people outside and I saw the man gardening and working on his yard and cutting the grass, it was like, here we come with this light. And it just gave me so much hope that, so much hope and so much happiness that we could bring that light through, it was right there in Michigan, that we could bring that light and travel through. And then the people stopped what they were doing and they began to acknowledge our presence and smile, and people driving were blowing their horns. I mean, the people stopped absolutely still to see who we are. And I know that our cars being decorated and we brought that color into the situation, I just found that really, really hopeful, and it was exciting for me.
I would like to see maybe us be a little true to the parade part of it and stay in the procession of it. So it's a whole production that goes through. I don't want to call it production, but, you know, so that they see us cohesively together. And then after we make the full circle, then we can branch off and do the individual blocks and stop and, you know, pray for people and stuff like that. That way, you know, it kind of feels like, this group of people was coming through here blowing their horns, waving and praying for us. And then they came back and stopped.
Well, you know, Elder Katie, even the apostle, we could go out and go door to door on a different day. If we do the parade on Sunday, and then we may be able to take a Wednesday, another day other than Sunday. Because sometimes when you're ministering and you're evangelizing, you may be at someone's door 30 minutes.
All right.
That's the spirit of the Jehovah's Witness, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And so how we introduce ourselves in the community becomes very important. And
yes.
I don't want our focus to become evangelistic until we've gone through some universal evangelistic training so that we are all on the same page as we are presenting. And so if we can present the social gospel, if we can avail ourselves, if we can give them a meal ticket and say, come over here and pick up a meal, or I think that there's a process that needs to happen before you can share on another level. And then in respect to the mandate of the governmental laws as it relates to social distancing and things of that nature, my desire is just to make sure that we are not found guilty, if you will, of not being in compliance from that perspective. And so I think it is phenomenal to pull out the trusty calendar and begin to schedule some things, whether it is but to include the walkthroughs and to include some evangelistic training. And it is one thing to minister at the altar. It's one thing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ within the structure of the house. It is a complete different thing to do that from an evangelistic perspective, because we want to make sure that we are winning souls to Christ and not trying to fill up a church. And we want to make sure that what we're given is the gospel and not our doctrine or our denominational, our varying, because we definitely are made up of, we are definitely multi or interdenominational. And so just making sure that there is a sense of cohesiveness as it relates to that. But I think this is simply phenomenal because we got a text earlier, and so I definitely want to be able to share that. But before we go there, and I do realize the time is I want to be sensitive to that. Is there someone else? Because we have lots of people on the line. And again, thank you. You all are so diligent on Wednesdays to call in and to be a part. And so thank you that you're still here. So would anybody else like to share?
Well, I was just thinking that to support what you said, as we go out into the community in this season, that the word tells us to approach not spiritually first, but naturally. And we've been doing that because we've been addressing the needs of our members and other people and their natural needs. And that, you know, we can continue to do as we go out into the community that surrounds the church, so that they know that we're there and that we are willing to provide naturally for the community, which lets people know that we are Christ.
Amen. Apostle, I wanted to add, too, that the first time when we did the parade, I left the posters taped on the car, and driving on the expressway, people were blowing their horns, and I stopped at the store, and people were saying amen, and just the encouragement, and I have to use the words the hope, the ray of hope, to know, you know, that God is in control. As a reminder, you know, we say on the prayer line to putting God people in remembrance of his promises, that having the names of God and the scriptures on the car, it puts people in remembrance of God. It takes them away from the whole 24-hour-a-day, you know, destruction on the news. And, you know, just put them back in the remembrance of God's promises and God's word. And so I just found that enlightening as well. Because at first when people were blowing, I'm like, why are people blowing their horn? And then I had the sign still on the car. And I started going back. So, yeah, it definitely was good. And I agree with Evangelist Katie as well that, you know, to circle the block, you know, as a parade and then to disperse if need be to go into prayer afterwards, you know, to pray for the different blocks or whatever, you know, we decide on. I'm open, but I thought it was a good idea as well. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Would anybody else like to share?
Yes, ma'am. Apostle, this is Arnetta. I enjoyed when they first was looking for it. I couldn't find you all. But then when I was able to get you, the broadcast was really nice, you know, being in the car with Evangelist Katie. It was like I was riding with her. But like she said, you couldn't really see. But it was really nice to hear the prayers because the prayers was really uplifting. And then when it broke to the next part, I found the like everything else broken off, so it wasn't in order. And if I might have been somebody else not looking or not diligent at that point, and I hope that's not tooting the horn or being prideful, but I wanted to see. I'm like, where my people's at? Hold up. I did feel disconnected. But then when I got to the next part, that silence was very long to not be able to see or hear. And some people might get a little tired if they're very impatient. But once I got and y'all came on in there, it was all right. It was really, really good. And I enjoyed, like, oh, there they are. There they are. And it was very beautiful. You know, I enjoyed being able to, like Prophet Mike say, see the cars and see the decorations. I was like, I want, like, okay, where's some more balloons at? This is a parade, isn't it? And it was just very good. So as everything continues, it's going to get better and better. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We so appreciate as we get to hear the insight of those that are watching it virtually. So, again, thank you, Sister Arnett, for your insight. And clearly, I guess these balloons make a difference. So, all right, for the balloon ministry.
And I'm thankful for them brown bags because I didn't even know the string for the balloons. I'm trying to tie it and tape it. And I'm like, Apostle KP, you got some tape? And the Holy Spirit said, look in your bag. And to see the strings to go with the balloon and to be able to have it, it was just a blessing. So thank you all and everyone who put those brown bags together.
All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you for acknowledging it.
I just need to be able to communicate with Apostle a little bit more on the timing because I was streaming and kind of riding around because I didn't know, you know, that we weren't leaving right away. And then when I figured that out, I cut the stream and then restarted it. So some of the silence and was kind of me waiting to see when she was coming out because I didn't know.
No, so noted it. And so, you know, while we'll call it the in-between time, we can definitely begin the prayer journey. We can begin to prepare people to journey with us and invite them to pray. We will come up with some creative ways to keep people engaged in the process as we perfect our timetable.
And transition.
So, okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Definitely appreciate all of the insight. We thank you so much for sharing. It is needed. It is necessary. So we appreciate that. I want to share this text that came in because I believe that it is just another tool that we will be able to use to perfect this process. But before I do that, is Minister Tamika on the line? Is Minister Tamika?
I know sometimes people are on the line from the computer, so, okay, I wasn't thinking that if you're on the line from the computer, you can't talk. But, okay, no problem. The suggestion came across for community engagement, and it's this big vinyl banner, since we do worship within a gated community. I don't know how many people on the line went to Jerusalem with us for the prayer wall, but it is this big banner that's on the gate or on a fence. This one is on a fence, and it says, place your prayers on the prayer fence. Now, I can't see the rest of it, but in huge letters. And so we were reminded of the prayer wall and the fact that we literally are in a gated community, and so therefore we have the opportunity. And thank you again for those who are texting in their thoughts. We are so grateful that you had the opportunity to be there and that it was uplifting and enjoying for you. And so one of the things that we want to do, and we want to gather some people to participate and work with Minister Tamika, who I have drafted, who says, sure, I'll work on the fence. But to create the gate that is around the building as a prayer gate and some way begin to put something on the gate by which we can begin to collect people's prayer requests and things like that. And I believe even with the social distancing, one of the suggestions that we had was to make a brown bag blessing available to the community. And so looking as we on next Sunday, not this Sunday coming up on the 10th, but on the 17th, prepare again, maybe passing out some tickets to say come get a meal on such and such day, which would be Pentecost, the last Sunday of the month, the 31st, making ourselves available on one side of the gate so that we can maintain social distancing, passing out some bags and prayer requests so that people can take their prayer requests and actually affix it to the bags that would be on the gate or on the fence, whatever we're calling it, and then giving them a brown bag blessing. And so some type of way where we can begin to engage, you know, so giving them a prayer request and a ticket for a free meal and letting them know, look, you can come here and get a meal and on the Sunday that you can get this meal. So other ways that we are just, you know, engaging the community, interacting with the community, and actually making our presence known in the community. And so just kind of want to share that. And I so appreciate everyone that is texting. And so for those individuals, if you're interested in working on that ministry opportunity of community engagement, I believe that that would be a phenomenal way to just begin to interact. I believe that some of you realize that we have some chairs out, and so I know that there are individuals that may come from the community, and so we set some chairs strategically in places where those individuals are welcome to come in and have, again, still maintaining the social distancing. And so I definitely believe that that becomes important that we govern ourselves as it relates to that. So, again, thank you for your insight and your input. We appreciate it. We are going to turn the remainder of this about half hour or so over back into the hands of our ambassadorial prophet. I'm not sure how long we have, but it's – oh, thank you. We don't mind texting corrections. I don't mind being corrected. So, Prophet Henderson.
Yes. Well, good evening. Thank you all for such positive feedback. It is needed, and it was well-deserved. So thank you again. Appreciate it. So this month, we're going to talk about deliverance through the prophetic. And we are prophetic deliverance is a teaching identifying the grace of both inspired gifts, the prophetic ministry and the deliverance ministry, operating as a gift mixed power to bring forth the demonstration of prophetic freedom through the testimony of Jesus Christ by the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I have a very special guest that is going to be ministering with me that I'm excited to minister with. And what we wanted to do in this first section is just give you a small introduction. I'm pretty sure that most of us on the phone is familiar with the deliverance ministry and also the prophetic ministry. And so what we want to talk about is what does prophetic deliverance look like? And so, again, it is that teaching that identifies the grace of both inspired gifts, the prophetic ministry and the deliverance ministry, operating as a gift mixed power to bring forth the demonstration of prophetic freedom through the testimony of Jesus Christ by the person of the Holy Spirit. And what we want to begin to do is continue to engage us as a ministry and understanding that we are both an apostolic and prophetic ministry, and what that looks like when we flow apostolically, we move prophetically, apostolically, we flow prophetically, and then what does it look when all mixed gifts flow through the stream of the prophetic vehicle? And so we're going to talk about prophetic through deliverance and prophetic through healing. And so this month we're going to focus on the deliverance concept. Again, the teaching is to for you to engage in and ask questions. And as we go through this process together, we are believing God for the miraculous. So we have about, let's say we'll go over maybe another 10 minutes. So we'll take both about 10 minutes. And we want to just first just give you a brief introduction when we talk about deliverance ministry. And then we will also review when we talk about prophetic ministry. So our very own Apostle KT, I will yield the floor to you as you give us teaching scripture that will inspire us about deliverance.
Yay.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Prophet, for allowing us this opportunity. And we do definitely want to begin to look at, I think he gave a profound definition as to prophetic deliverance and what it looks like. And when he initially had come to me and said it, and I began to look at it a little more in depth as to what it was, it's definitely something that we've been taught, especially those of us who have attended any of their sexual healing retreats. We definitely have been flowing in the vein of prophetic deliverance, but now they've given it a more specific name. And so when we're talking about doing deliverance, we definitely want to hear from God as to what needs to be taking place in deliverance, what needs to be cast out, what are we ministering, what's the need of the individual that we're ministering to. And so we definitely, you know, there was one point where deliverance was the mainstream thing. Everybody was doing deliverance, and then it kind of took a back seat somewhere, but the deliverance is still the children's bread. It's still a necessity in the household of faith, and something that we need to, you know, be doing and checking ourselves and ensuring that, you know, our house is clean and that we're free from a lot of things that are going on. So when we look at this particular gift mix, what does it look like? What is it going to do? How is it going to be effectuated in the body of Christ? And so we know that deliverance, again, is the children's bread, and we know that the scripture that a prophet read in Mark 16, 17, and 18, it talks about the size of the believer driving out demons was one of the natural things. It was one of the given things that God had given to us just to mark that you are a believer, that you would drive out demons, speak with tongues. If you pick up any deadly thing, it won't harm you. Lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. And so when we're looking at that, as we begin to look at it, we also want to look at Christ, his mission statement, what he said in Luke 4, chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. There were about six major faith statements that he gave in that scripture. He talked about preaching the gospel, healing the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord. And so as we begin to go back, as we begin to look at some of the things that we need God to do in our lives, we also want to encourage you to get the book called Prophetic Deliverance, The Missing Ministry of Jesus Christ, and it's by Tim Mathers. Again, the book title is Prophetic Deliverance, The Missing Ministry of Jesus Christ in the Church, and it's by Tim Mathers. You can pick that up because we will definitely be looking at some of the things that he's noted in this particular book. So if you want to pick those up, it's available on Amazon. I know for a fact it's available on Amazon, and I also believe it's available on ChristianBook.com. And so just picking up those things up. So we just wanted to begin to open up and just begin to look at that. And when we're looking at these gifts mix, the spiritual gift that God has given to us to restore Christians, by the Holy Spirit, and it allows us to do service in the lives that will benefit the kingdom. When we're talking about becoming a we talk about deliverance, when we talk about being a deliverance minister, when we talk about taking authority, he said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, and there are things that we need to take authority over and begin to walk in the authority, full authority of who God has given us. And there's no way for us to look at the ministry of Jesus Christ and not see that peace of deliverance, not see that piece of the prophetic that Christ walked in. And we're not talking about specifically being a prophet. I just want to separate that. But we're talking about flowing in the prophetic, in that you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying when you're seeing somebody who is going through, somebody who's going through turmoil, or somebody who is going through being brokenhearted and things of that nature. So we definitely want to walk in that and look at that piece for the rest of the month, going into great details. Those of you who are on the line, we definitely want you during the week to look at Mark 16, verses 17 through 18, and to also to look at Luke 4, 18 through 19, and just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to write down some questions or things that you want to excavate from this particular lesson that we're going to be doing for the remainder of the month, as we just prepare ourselves to look at what God is doing with the prophetic deliverance piece as we're teaching on. And so that's what I wanted to bring introductory on tonight. Are there any questions for me as I prepare to turn it back over to Prophet? Are there any questions that anyone has for me with the piece of deliverance? Okay, I'm going to say amen. Amen. And I'm just going to turn it back over to Prophet as we move further. I could give you a lot of books. They Shall Expel Demons by Derek Prince. There's so many books and things that are really, really good as far as reading materials and things that you need to be, that you can just kind of begin to pour into yourself as far as being prepared for deliverance. But it's definitely the piece we want to hold on to, that deliverance is the children's bread. So as we prepare on this month to eat from the table of the Most High, amen, we appreciate you coming along. Prophet?
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you for that powerful introduction. As Apostle, just to reiterate what Apostle has said, we definitely want to begin to look at deliverance and also look at the prophetic through the vein of being inspired. And so when we talk about, we've talked about the prophetic ministry before, but we've come through the lens that the prophetic ministry moves beyond just prophesying. So we want to definitely take away this concept that every time we think of prophetic, we only think of A, prophet, and B, prophesying. But the prophetic ministry is a lifestyle of bringing God to man and carry man to God. It is helping man to understand who God is and helping him to walk the way God wants him to walk. And then when we look at being an apostolic and prophetic lifestyle, it is about developing a culture of sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit. It is about intentionally developing a life centered around divine inspiration. So I want to say that again. When we talk about apostolic and prophetic, we're talking about a lifestyle that is about developing a culture of sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit. And that is what Apostle was saying when she talked about deliverance, identifying deliverance beyond just an individual's need or what we see physically or what is being told to us, but actually being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to reveal what needs to take place. So when we talk about the prophetic, it is about you intentionally developing a lifestyle centered around divine inspiration. And so when we talk about prophetic, we want to reiterate when we talk about these three lenses. Well, most people teach a three lens, and we just want to share with you a four lens. And you have heard it before, and you're probably familiar with it. And this is the way that we want to begin to tie in the power of both of these mixed gifts. Talk about looking at the prophetic through the lens of being inspired or having the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a revelation that comes from man. So the simplest definition of prophecy, the prophetic word is edify, that brings edification. Edify means to build up. God desires to build up his people through prophecy and also through deliverance. Deliverance, through the lens of deliverance, we see things broken down or tore down, but it's only through the foundation to edify and bring you back up. The word edify is related to the word edifice, which is another word for a building. The church of God's building, his building or edifice, is built up through prophecy and also through the power of deliverance. So how do the prophetic word builds up the church? It builds us up through exhortation and comfort to the individual people that makes up the church. And then that word exhortation is the Greek word, which means parakeis, which means solace, entry, consolation, and comfort. And so when we talk about that Greek word parakeis, it is also the Greek word where we get paraclete, which is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that inspires man to both prophesy and bring forth deliverance. And that's why we want to begin to see deliverance through the power of the prophetic and also see how deliverance is very prophetic, because it is inspired by God and it is God revealing what is hindering an individual, a church, a nation, a city to not be built up and operate in the fullness in which God has called it to. And so, again, when we look at prophecy or we look at the prophetic, we talked about these four levels. Most people teach a three level. So the first level was this. You can write this down. It's the spirit of prophecy. We know that that is the basic level of prophecy. It is known as the spirit of prophecy. So number one is the spirit of prophecy. And then the next thing that people often talk about is the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy is the second of that prophetic realm, and it is the gift of prophecy found in 1 Corinthians 12. It is a gift that can be stirred up, that is given to each individual. And then most people don't often talk about number four, which we talk about as an apostolic house, which is the grace of the prophet, the grace of prophecy. So there's a prophetic grace that comes upon individuals or can be bestowed upon individuals. And then that fourth is the final, the office of the prophet. So when we talk about this over the next few weeks, we're going to identify how the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the prophetic grace, and the prophet can all administrate the power of deliverance. And their prophecy and deliverance is the two things that all believers
can operate in. Number one, Apostle read it earlier. Jesus said that those who believe, he said that they can cast out devils. We read that in, let me find that scripture again. We read that in the earlier part. Go ahead, Apostle, I'm sorry.
I was just saying Mark 16, 17, and 18.
Yes, Mark 16, 17, and 18. Do you have it in front of you?
No, I just have it written down, but I can get it.
Okay, so Mark 16, 17, that's for all believers. That's for all believers who have that has the Holy Spirit who lives inside of them that gives can inspire them to move in that vein according to the scripture. That is what they can operate out of and do. Boom.
I have it.
Yes. Thank you.
So he that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that oh wait, hold on, Mark. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And that, of course, is the King James Version. The Amplified Version said, he who believes and who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel, and him who sets forth and is baptized is saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to, who does not trust in and rely on the gospel, to him he will be condemned. And these things attest are the attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's the Amplified.
Amen. Thank you for that, Apostle. And so when we talk about that, that is a ministry that all believers can operate in. And then 1 Corinthians 14 and 39 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 and 39 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not despise speaking in tongues. And then 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 says, follow the way of love, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, and especially prophesy. That's the NIV. The New Living Translation said, let your love be highest goal, but you shall also desire the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. New Living Version says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1, let love be your highest goal, but you shall also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. So that is our foundation. We encourage you to look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 more, excavate that. We also encourage you to look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13 and 39. We encourage you, 1 Corinthians 14 and 39, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 14 and 39 and 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 to begin to look at that. And then we also encourage you to continue to look at Mark 16, Mark 16, that's 17 and 18, correct, Apostle? Can you give us the scriptures one more time? We want the courage to look at.
Mark 16, 17, verses 17 and 18. Also Luke 4, verses 18 through 19.
All right. So we encourage you to look at that. We also encourage you, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, you can text them in to 773 773-
773-779-2900. That's 773-779-2900. And as we continue to excavate and talk about this conversation, I'm excited about the process that we're going to grow through and go to as a community as we continue to look at prophetic, the deliverance through the prophetic. So once again, prophetic deliverance is a teaching identifying the grace of both inspired gifts, the prophetic ministry and the deliverance ministry, operating as a gift mix power to bring forth the demonstration of prophetic freedom through the testimony of Jesus Christ by the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm excited about what God's going to do in our lives individually and collectively. Proverbs 25:4 says, take away the impurities from the silver, and a good smith can create something of value. You take away the impurities from the silver, and a good smith can create something of value. And so we know who our good smith is. That is the person of Jesus Christ. You are valuable to him. The Easy Read version says, remove the worthless things from the silver to make it pure, and a worker can make something beautiful. So we're excited about the valuable and beautiful work that God is going to do through us individually and collectively, and we are open to his process to move powerful and mightily, to break down all strongholds, to remove all mountains that are standing before us so that we can become that great wall that he has decreed and took over our lives individually and collectively. So this has been a wonderful time. I'm ready to get it going. I appreciate you, mm-hmm. Apostle, and what you are bringing to the table. We are both excited to share the revelation that God has been given us. Amen. And so is there any other announcements, Apostle Shawnette, Overseer?
Well, we do have a lot going on, and you need to check your May announcements from Elder Sharita. But there is a meeting on Saturday via Blog Talk for our second Saturday gathering, and we are going to have our global family communion on Sunday, this Sunday coming up, which is Mother's Day. And then CCTI start the following week. So we are blessed to have quite a few events going on. I was looking for the email from Elder Sharita, which I can't find it right now. But you do need to contact the ministry if you are interested in continuing or coming aboard with the third unit of getting to know God, knowing the names of God, and doing our name of God prayer journal. So, Prophet, I think those are the three most current things that we're anticipating.
Amen. Well, again, thank you for your attention. Thank you for your participation during this time of spiritual growth and development. Again, we are excited to be a part of the process that God is doing in your life, and we definitely see in your present and your future that God is definitely turning some things around. We are excited about what he is doing. So let's end in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for what you are downloading in our hearts individually and collectively. Thank you for this fresh revelation that is going to fall, that is falling both in the heart and the ears of each person that is here. I thank you for divine turnaround. I thank you for the grace that is released to move beyond where we're at and to go to the place that you have ordained for us individually and collectively. And so, Father, even right now, in the name of Jesus, we come against all fear. We come against all anxiety. Mm-hmm. We come against every power of the enemy that would want to hinder what you are doing in our lives. And so we decree and declare the word of the Lord that said to Zechariah, O Zubarel, What is this mountain that stands before you? This mountain will be made level plain. And I thank you. And by the way of the Spirit, I see mountains falling, walls coming down, and things being erected for the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Look forward, amen, what God is doing in that. Get there early on Sunday, amen, and let's definitely be intentional about praying. There is still midnight prayer, correct, Apostle?
Yes, there is still midnight prayer.
All right, midnight prayer, and that is the same line for Tuesday prayer, right?
Yes, sir.
It is the same line for Tuesday prayer for those of you who can stay up, amen. Hope that you'll be on the phone on Tuesday. We look forward to worshiping with you on Sunday. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.